What's going on, everyone? This is Sean from Firekeeper Studios, and I want to welcome you guys to The Fireside. The Fireside is our new podcast where we talk to artists and other people in the music and creative world. Today we had Tyler Seller of Masshole Media. He's a really interesting guy, and he's worked with a lot of really, really big name artists. I think you guys are going to find that there's a lot of really good advice for upcoming artists and people who want to kind of network in the music and creative space. So yeah, thanks a lot for watching or listening, and enjoy the show.
Yeah. Can you tell us, like, real quick, I know probably a lot of people already know, but, like, what is Masshole Media? How do you, like, summarize that for people?
Yeah, so we're the world's first cost-efficient media company that works as Uber for creatives. That's why I like to tell everybody how to relate to us. So let's say you're an artist from Boston and you have a show in Singapore and you have a bunch of fans in Singapore, and those are the only two places. If you were to go out to Singapore, you would say, wow, I got to fly my manager, I got to fly my DJ, I got to fly my tour manager, my whole entire set, I got to fly my media guys and pay for their travel and all that stuff. And if they're independent, they don't have a label to bank off of.
Right.
But even if there's a label, we basically say, cut the cost of that. I have everything you need in Singapore, photo, video, producer, lighting, sound, whatever. And we'll take care of that for you. You give us the rate it costs them to work, and we'll take a producer fee on top and just kind of like diverse it between the company and invest back into them, whether it be studio equipment, camera rentals, lenses, whatever they need.
Nice. What is like the old like paradigm that you're disrupting for that stuff? Like, is there an old way of doing that that's kind of like different from how you guys do it?
I don't know. Because a lot of people, like, the reason I started was because I got, like, greedy and selfish and wanted to do everything, and I couldn't. People were asking me to go to places in the world that I thought would be impossible for me to go to when I was first starting. And I was like, how much are you paying me? And they were like, we can't pay you a thing because you don't have the proper equipment. You just started, and we don't know how it's going to come out, but we want to give you the opportunity. So it was like, hey, I know a couple people that I met through doing a couple shows. I'd love to give them the opportunity. I'll make an Instagram and they'll share it with us. I can say I produced it and set it up and just kind of promote and put other people into the scene that we're all trying to get to one day.
Yeah.
So that's how it kind of started. There's a lot of other companies that are groups, but they travel together to do like Rolling Loud, Camp Vlogna is coming up in a week. So that's how a lot of them do it. But we're trying to basically make ourselves different than being another media company that puts out good content, because photography and video, it's subjectively, like, it's all good content. Like, you have a style and that's how you put it out, and there's no bad way of doing it. So I think it's important to like provide a value that people haven't yet. So having people around the world and cutting the cost for artists so they can allocate a budget better for themselves to market themselves better. Is a cool way of going about it.
Totally. Yeah. And you said you have 200 people
200.
Involved with Masshole. That's crazy. Like, it's only 2 years old and you have 200 people involved.
I mean, straight up, it's just like Instagram. I mean, you have a lot of, like, you're a producer, so you have a lot of people that follow you from LA, New York, and they just like what you do as a person and like what you do as your job and your beats that you make, you know? So it's the same way with photography, video, and like media. They like the photo you take, or there's fans that follow you who have wished to photograph this artist that's one of their favorites. And it's just kind of like them reaching out and saying, hey, what do you guys do? Like, how did you guys get tapped in and be able to be at that show and like be in that moment? So it's a lot of that, and just saying like, hey, like, we can help you depending on where you're from. And yeah, I think it was really important though to like, cause at first it was us just saying we were going to take anyone and anyone that offered their services and like for free, especially because we weren't making money at the time. So it's like, we'll take on anyone that like just wants to shoot for free and like would love to do this. And now it's like, wow, like, we have to budget it. We have to figure out how many people I can let in between me, managers, and like co-managers. And it's a lot of work to plan out and see where it's going to lead up to now that like it's a business. And if it's not making money, I can't continue a business. So that's kind of the mind switch, because you're trying to push out an idea, and once you got the idea and you start working it a couple times, that's when you have to say, wow, this is a legit thing. It wasn't just an idea now. How can I keep going off this so mm-hmm. I can keep funding it and like making sure that these people buy into the idea still and like know that they're going to have a job at the end of the day?
For sure. Yeah, no, you have to keep the machine rolling.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. What are these like 200 people, like are they all doing photo video, or like what are the different roles that they're all filling?
So they're doing photo video. A lot of us just hear from other people in our company and we're just generally involved in like learning and just hearing what they got to do. So there's a lot of graphic design, there's a lot of animation, mm-hmm. Some people who do music on the side, whether it be artists, producing, engineering, sound, lighting, some people who take photos, and there's security guards on off days at like venues.
Okay.
So it's just people who have kind of like the relationship and like the persona of being able to like just talk to anyone and everyone and right. be engaging to get into whatever you can get into.
Right. So the personality is kind of like almost important as the skill set.
Yeah, because you meet people in the weirdest ways and in the weirdest places, and mm-hmm. you don't know what it can lead up to, because everyone has a value to themselves mm-hmm. and everyone is special. It's just finding out like to you why you can connect with them. But there's always a way to connect with someone and anyone.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think it's sick that like you're interacting with these like really big artists and you have this really like 200 person company, but you're still like, we met at a local artists, fairly local artists like show. Mm-hmm. That's like awesome that you're like,
and like a little garage and just like kind of scoping talent and seeing what's good in Boston.
Yeah.
I love seeing what like is going on here. I saw like, I keep up with like everything going on in Boston for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
I saw Felix just did the Brent Faiyaz album and got a placement on that. And nice. I was like, holy crap, that is crazy. From like a record label, an independent record label in Brockton, Mass, like Van Buren. I'm like, that's crazy. So there's a lot of stuff to like be proud of and like want to be a part of when you're in music. Mm-hmm. And especially we're not like no New York or LA, but right. like, we just got to be proud of like what we're doing right now and doing here, because at some point we're going to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you have any like favorite artists that are kind of like in the Boston scene right now?
I love Tyler Loyal. I love Tyler Loyal.
Yeah.
Most is cool. Token's actually been doing really well. He's on tour. One of our guys from our company is on tour with him right now.
And, nice.
Manchester, I think, at the moment.
Okay.
So he's like absolutely killing it. It's the first time he's been in Europe in like 6 years. So he's cool. He's pretty cool to like see grow. We used to go to Hebrew school together, and my mom was like our teacher.
Oh,
we
cool.
were like eight, so that was pretty funny. Yeah. He used to rap like Eminem in like preschool. Wow. And we were like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm gonna be a rapper. And everyone was like, okay, yeah, like, cool. Just,
yeah.
So
yeah, that's wild.
He's good.
Yeah. That's super sick. Yeah. So you're doing a lot of travel these days, or like, yeah, like, yeah, you've probably been to like tons of places doing like tours and stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been to a couple of places. It's like, sometimes I feel bad traveling, because it's like the whole point of my company is that I don't have to travel and it's supposed to be other people doing it.
Right.
It's more like when new opportunities come around and I want to show face for my company and just kind of like network with those people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I trust every single person that I've hired in my company to be able to know the idea of like what we're trying to do. Because when they write emails to get into stuff and like be able to get paid for shows and whatever, mm-hmm. It comes down to them knowing the idea and like buying into it and being passionate about it.
Yeah.
So, or else I wouldn't hire them, you know?
Totally, yeah.
I want people that are passionate about what they do. They're able to talk about the company like as if it were me or Dre and do that. So, it's definitely an important aspect to travel, to network. But mm-hmm. at the same time, it's like, I know it's my child and like I love my company, but like I gotta give everyone their chance to
be able to
like push it, because mm-hmm. They're not going to be around with my company. Maybe they will be. Maybe they'll stick with me.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be other opportunities at the door, and I know that. And
people
are just going to rotate in and rotate out.
Right.
But I just want to make sure that they get that opportunity before they go somewhere else, so they can learn from it and know how it goes.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there's like a pattern when you're starting like a creative like business to like,
eventually you have to prioritize growth in some way. So that usually equates to like kind of leaning back into a more managerial position, which like I know I like look to that day and I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss like doing more of the engineering and stuff. But like, I also like want this idea to like keep growing and stuff. Do you ever like, are there any like artists or shows where you're like, no, I need to do this one because I just like love this artist?
Always. I mean, everyone has their favorite artist. What gets me is it's not even like my favorite artist. It's just artists that are super, super hard to photograph. that's what gets me kind of going.
Yeah. What does that mean?
They don't have like, you don't know their personal photographies. You don't know their, if they have cameras rolling like backstage. You have no idea, and you don't see anyone posting photos of them like from the creative space. So that's like Billie Eilish, Travis Scott, Playboi Carti. You don't see any photos of Playboi Carti except for like he just did a listening party and there was a absolute ton of them. But like everything else is like 2018, 2016 with like Uzi and like them being like, wow, they used to be friends, and it's like, Cardi, like, where have you been, you know?
Yeah.
Doing those guys is like the holy grail to me. It's not necessarily doing my favorite artist I grew up like listening to.
It kind of reminds me of like a wildlife photographer being like trying to find like a rare bird or something.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's literally what it is. Like there's so many people that like are on tour and doing their thing and like it's work, you know? But there's some that like you just see like go run across really quick that you're like, wow, that would be like really cool if you have the right connect and like work for it. So.
Yeah. And I was curious too, like with like the huge, like you work with like basically the biggest artist on the planet. Like how many of these people do you actually get to like hang out with like one-to-one or like talk to directly? Is it like all of them or is there some like, you know, like hurdles to jump over to talk to these people or like how does that go?
Sometimes it's hurdles, but most of them, all the artists I've worked with are really cool dudes. Yeah. Girls, guys, whoever it is, they're awesome people to talk to. Mm-hmm. For them, it's not like, who are you? Why are you here? How come I'm talking to you?
Right.
It's like they're appreciative of like what we do.
Right.
The worst people that you have to deal with is like the artist teams, whether it be managers, whether it be assistants, security, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the teams are absolutely great. Like Lil TJ's team, best team that I've ever worked with. I'm like forever in debt to them. but there's other teams that are like, sure, just like text me and like they won't respond or like they'll say, get out of here. How are you back here? Like you did your job, go home. Like there's no reason to be doing this. But
yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
Because the artists, they're there to work. When they get off stage, it's like they don't want a camera in their face. As long as we don't have a camera in their face and it's just like us hanging out as like high school friends, it's totally cool.
Yeah.
Because they go out in public and they're getting flash mobbed and paparazzi'd, you know?
Right.
So they just want that chill vibe and like being able to trust that like whatever happens in this room stays in that room.
Yeah.
And it's an important part to their life that they live because everything's so public that they need that one inch of like private.
Totally.
To go with.
Yeah. Is there normally like a back room or like are there like after parties or like what kind of settings are we talking about?
There's always an after party. It's just like sometimes you don't get into those. I don't know how many I've been to necessarily that are massive. But yeah, every artist has a green room. If that door is closed, that door is closed.
Sure.
You don't even go and knock on it.
Yeah.
So when you're in there, it's like you understand the vibe it is. And it's either you're getting ready for a show, you're just chilling out.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that happens in there stays in there and doesn't leave that room.
Uh-huh.
But it's just really cool to see how a lot of those guys carry themselves because whenever I work with these artists, you look at their age and they're like similar to us. They're 22, 27 maybe.
Sure.
And you're like, wow, they like carry themselves like they're 30 to 40 years old, like so mature, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what they're taught like from labels, which is like absolutely incredible to see how professional it is that they're taught that since they sign.
Right.
And like you can see their like progress of like how they grow as an artist because of it.
Right. Yeah. Over the years and stuff. Yeah. I've heard that like artist development is something that isn't really being prioritized as much these days, but you're seeing that it is still like happening.
Absolutely. I've always said this, that A&Rs for labels are the most important people of all time, which is artists and repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
So people who those are people who go out and say, oh, wow, Tyler Loyal's a really good artist. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking at how he markets himself. I'm looking at how many monthly streams. I need to know that my boss is going to like his music. And I need to know who he is as a person and that he's not going to do any stupid crap, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the important stuff, too. Especially like just getting into a label that they aren't doing anything stupid.
Right.
So those are the people that basically say, hey, found a good artist that on like the corner of a street. Mm-hmm. And I think we should sign him. And those are the people that put on those artists that you hear about.
Yeah.
There's this guy named Sycamore. He just signed a deal with SoundCloud to mm-hmm. basically get New York producers and hip hop artists like onto mixtapes, like bringing back digital mixtapes instead of the original ones.
Cool.
So he found Nicki Minaj and like signed her to a label. Wow. Found Travis Scott, signed him to a label, executive produced all his albums.
Crazy.
But he would go around in like Brooklyn and like Bed-Stuy and he'd say to a guy performing on a corner, you have a great song. I'm going to come back tomorrow. You're going to have this on a VHS or a CD and I'm going to put it in a mixtape.
Yeah.
Once I publish the mixtape, I'm going to let you know. And every Friday, I'm going to come to your street corner and I'm going to give you some of the profit that I make from the mixtape if I make anything.
Okay.
So that's what he was doing in finding artists and putting on people in the hip hop scene. So he was the dude that created mixtapes and he started off A&Ring on the street. Now he's A&Ring for Epic Records. He's A&R'd for Columbia and every label you can imagine. And now he's just... He felt like he's done everything.
Yeah.
So he wants to go back to his original roots because he wouldn't be, he wouldn't have done everything without that.
Yeah.
So he's trying to put more people back on, which is what I respect about him.
Yeah. No, I think like artist compilations and like getting a bunch of different faces in like one setting is like, obviously playlists are super powerful. So
exactly.
I think, that makes a lot of sense. Is it like similar to a playlist or how is this like mixtape idea?
I think it is. Yeah. Right now it's just New York center based. Like, mm-hmm. I think, I don't even know. I was going to text him and be like, so what's the deal? Like, is it just a playlist or whatever?
Yeah.
But I think it's like every bit of music. Like, I don't think it's necessarily just hip hop. I think it's rap. I think it's trap. I think it's drill. I think it's that whole genre of it. But it's like incredible what he's doing because that's the type of stuff that I looked up to once I knew more about the music industry. Mm-hmm. That's the guy I wanted to be. So it's pretty cool to see what he's done. And that's kind of like how artist development like really started for rap.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like any of the country and whatever they've had that. But, a lot of these guys come off the streets in Compton and they're doing their own thing and come from gangs and all that stuff. And, Sycamore was like, we gotta like figure this out. So going on street corners, just finding people and saying, you should do this, you should do that. And people taking his word, like, for a lot of meeting and it ended up carrying them. So
interesting.
It's pretty cool to see that.
Yeah. No, I think the people who like curate and then put something out to like a wider audience have always been like extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like the exact thing that those people are doing has definitely changed over time. But that role is still like absolutely crucial.
Yeah. And they don't get enough credit. A lot of the A&Rs now are just interns. That's all all they are. There's a senior, there's a VP, a president, a senior director for A&R. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is interns. There's no like base A&R. So those intern A&Rs are working on commission or doing their own thing. And they're saying to the SVP or the president or the leader of like the label, found this artist, you should look into him. And I really think this might be the guy.
Yeah.
And there's no in between. You're just in direct contact with those people at the top.
Wow.
So I think that's how it rolls from who I've talked to and what I know. For smaller labels and big labels, it seems like they're under the same kind of impression.
Interesting. So there aren't as many like full-time, like capital A, capital R, A&R people.
It's just like, I mean, in a way though, everyone in the music industry is A&R. I mean, Cole Bennett is one of the best A&Rs without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. His music videos he puts on, he just put on BLP, he put on Babytron to the world through a music video.
Yeah.
So it's just, realistically, an A&R is just like a cosign. Anyone who has the power to cosign is someone who you want on your side.
Right.
And cosign is like one of the most important things you can possibly get from anyone.
Yeah, no, I saw one of the more successful like local kind of artists I've worked with, like he got put on or whatever through this like I don't know, it's like this collective where they have like, they post to SoundCloud, they do like playlists and they do like AMVs, which is really like kind of funny, but they'll do like an anime edit to like these like hip hop songs, like trap and stuff. And like, they just get like millions of views. And he like did like one or two with them. And that was like, from what I've seen, that's like the main thing that like got him like an audience. And
exactly.
Stuff.
It's just trying to get people to get put onto and having them accept it and say like, you're a really good guy. Like, I think you are going to like shake up the world and let's figure out a way we can collab.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing is too, is that nowadays it's, people are way too competitive, especially in the creative space. I feel like if they were to be able to collaborate more, they'd get more stuff done, because my biggest thing is that you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And like, if you try to do it alone, you're burning more bridges than you would if you were going to collaborate.
Right.
Even if it was just a one-time thing, you still have that connection, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but cosigns are like the biggest thing that I can think of to put on artists, to put on creatives, to put on producers, anything, just a placement.
Yeah.
Whatever, however you get it,
yeah,
is however you get it. You don't have to say any stories or anything.
Right.
But once you get a placement, that's a huge deal. And like, again, it's like Felix. You would have never heard of the guy unless you're from Boston. Now he's on an album with Brent Faiyaz.
Yeah.
How do you get that placement? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's on an album with Brent Faiyaz and he got his co-sign for it.
Yeah. That's like, I feel like that's like the secret sauce, like dark magic that people don't like.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, how does that work? Like, how
sometimes,
do I go
sometimes
from,
even too, like people pay for meet and greets. And some of the artists, I know Token did this. He was like, you can play a beat, you can play a song for me, and I'm going to pick one person on tour to make a song with, or like, if I like your song, we'll connect.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool way of doing it interactively with fans, to see who's like really interested and who's really hustling, because they spend a lot of money to like go and do a meet and greet already.
Sure,
so for them to do a song and like perform for them, to see them as a person.
Yeah.
And an artist can read you like a book too. So it's pretty cool to see like that side of like marketing and promotion and like being able to just scope out talent as like an A&R when you're even an artist.
Right. Do you have any, considering that probably some like smaller local artists are going to see this, do you have any like advice for them in seeking out that cosign or that thing that'll get them to the next level?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is just meet whoever you can meet. I mean, there's no end to making a relationship. There's always just so many people that are in the same room as you. You don't need to look ahead and go storming into Columbia Records and on 25th and Madison and say, I need to talk to Ron Perry. I need to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by people you're already with that have a value to you. That's the whole thing. You just got to find a value in someone.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just learning how to talk to people. And sometimes you aren't that personable, but you are personable through your music. So it might just be expressing who you are through your music and showing it to like friends or not even friends, scratch that. Because your friends are supposed to like your music and support you. You want other people, because that's how you build a fan base.
Yeah.
So just being able to put on other people to who you are as a person. But talk to people you're in your room with and meet that one person, because they always know people. So that one connection goes to two. Those two go to four.
Yeah.
Those four go to eight. That's what I was telling you about.
Totally, yeah.
So it's just important to surround yourself with who you're with, like in the moment, and live in that moment, rather than like say, wow, I need to like talk to this person if anything's going to happen. Because there's so many people for an artist team. There's at least 50 people per team.
Right.
For one artist.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So if you get one of those 50, that's how you can get in contact to your favorite artist. And people don't realize it. And I think that's a pretty important thing to know.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think like social connections are like extremely important. And I think, I feel like a lot of small artists, like when I put out a tiny bit of music, and I feel like my idea was like, oh, I'm just going to like post it and like maybe I'll do like a little promotion on it and like just see what happens. Maybe something will like, maybe something will happen. But it's more, I feel like it's much more like actively pursuing the right social connections and like creating this environment that's more likely. Like, you're never gonna guarantee that you'll meet that perfect person who can like put you on to the next level, but the more you like interface with people and like give them things and, you know, just be like a cool person, like you're increasing the odds that that crazy thing is gonna happen,
right?
That's like gonna lead to like more connections being made and, you know, you getting to that next level.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, for example, one of my friends, Zay Skills, he's from Framingham.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I think he's a senior this year. He's the DJ for Young Chris, who's a up-and-coming rap artist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been selling out shows and doing his own thing.
Nice.
But he's also an artist on his own. And his way of getting into the scene was mixing, DJing, producing, using Machine.
Mm.
And he met Chris. I don't know how he met Chris. I didn't know the story or anything.
Right.
But he started off filming, actually, and he pulled up to Dallas. Mm. And he said, I also DJ and produce. So he started going off doing his own thing with that. And Chris ended up taking him as his DJ, and he started to just become an artist. And he's like a really talented artist.
Yeah.
So it's like sometimes you got to diversify. Like, it's not just good to do one thing in music, because people are looking at everything you can do and who you are and like what they think you're good at.
Right.
Because you don't know where you're going to be necessarily besides an artist, because it's not just about making music. You're going to have to produce your own songs. You're going to have to know how to do it, because at the end of the day, it's your music.
Yeah.
So you have to know the whole side and just like be educated on every single step of the process.
Totally.
And just have the due diligence to like learn that.
Yeah. No, I feel like there's this tricky balance to be struck between like specializing and being like a generalist and like doing everything. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're saying is totally right, that you should at least be competent and educated in like every stage of the process. Mm-hmm. If you're not actually doing it, like you should be able to like have input and like kind of direct and like make sure that it's happening the way you want it to happen.
Because at the end of the day, it's not just marketing for yourself because it's your song. It's marketing for a producer who's making the beats, because they're also going to go off and do their own thing.
For sure.
So it's someone who either has a reputation or has a big name that you can put onto a project, because if it's their project, they're going to do it to the best of their ability, because in the music industry, one bad thing, you're out of it.
Right.
And once you're out of the music industry, it's super hard to get back into it.
True.
So those guys are working their ass off to put out amazing stuff that they're willing to promote, because it's their project also.
Yeah, no, their face and name is going to be associated. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's a very big incentive to do good work for sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, when you're talking about like networking and like meeting people and making those connections, like what kinds of events and places are you like pulling up to?
I meet people at the weirdest places, man. My best story, I have two stories. I'll give you both.
Yeah.
When I was in college, and I went to a club called Rouge in Montreal.
Okay.
And it was the second time I ever picked up a camera. I was asking a promoter to film videos in the club.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, I'll come and do a video for free. This would be, like, great. I'm trying to shoot concerts and be in the music industry, so anything in a dark setting would be great.
Yeah.
So he's like, sure, come by. There was like these 2 6-year-old guys like that were in the club pouring shots down at everybody's mouths in the club, and it was like for his son's graduation party from college.
Okay.
And I was wearing a Yankees hat, and he came over and put a Yankees World Series ring on my finger, and I'm like, what the hell, like, where'd this come from, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, and then I was like, I'm from Boston. Like, I don't know. Like, this feels really wrong to me. And he was like, oh, I'm from Boston too. Like, but I'm a team photographer for New York Yankees.
Okay.
And I looked down at his other hands, like, while he was like kind of motioning to me. And all his other 9 fingers had a ring on them. And I was like, holy shit. Like, what are you doing at like a club in Montreal, you know?
That's crazy.
And then his friend goes, yeah, like, I'm just a guy who works at DHL and helps run regional for North America. So that's where F1 packages their cars. And I'm like, I could use you to get into Montreal, like, for the race and stuff.
Yeah, damn.
And then I later figured out, just from like a minute 30 into a conversation, they graduated Salem State and they grew up in Swampscott. And I was like, that is like the craziest thing that could possibly happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are the chances I meet a person who's doing what I want to do and has a connection to what I want to do?
Yeah.
And grew up in the same town as me and went to college like literally 2 minutes away from my house.
Yeah, that's where
I grew up.
Yeah.
So there's that one. The other one was, I texted a 14-year-old kid. His name's Max Maldonado. He's a DJ out of Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he owns an NFT to Lyrical Lemonade, so Cole Bennett's company.
Okay.
He's the youngest NFT holder in that company. So he has connects to Cole, Zach Via, a couple other people I won't name.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, do you mind sending a text to Ilan Bia, Zach Bia's younger brother? I saw I did a music video for North Ave Jacks, a Vermont artist. I'd love to be able to shoot a show and open. So it was like the day of that I asked that.
Yeah.
He got me in to film. They said, here's a budget, $300. That was my first paid show I've ever done.
Nice.
Went on stage in front of 5,000 people with him. And like, that was the greatest experience I ever had in my life. Get off stage and there's 7 security guards, 2 managers and little TJs in a group.
Oh shit.
And his manager comes up to me and he says, yo, are you like a filmer? I said, yes, I'm like a director. Like that's what I want to do. Like that's who I am. It's not just what I want to be, because in the industry you want to tell people what you are rather than who you want to be. So I'm like, yes. And they're like, cool, you are going to film little TJ. You're going to come on stage with us. And like, that's how it's going to be. And it all transpired from a 14-year-old kid in Austin, Texas, yeah. I never even met. And I played Call of Duty twice with him before that, you know? And he's still one of, like, my best friends, like,
that's
and
wild.
He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
So,
did they see
don't
the
know.
Photos you shot, or they were just
yeah,
like,
they
oh,
saw
you have
everything.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they saw so, everything.
Cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, I see him, I see his team. They come here November 25th, like, right after Thanksgiving.
Cool.
So, it'll be pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I've been around them a little bit more often, but... Mm-hmm. That's what really, I think that happened. I was debating on leaving school at the time and that show happened and it was like December 20th and I was like flying home the next afternoon and whatever. And I said to my mom, I'm like, mom, I think like I'm done with school. Like I just experienced the craziest thing.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I've been debating it for a minute. I think that's what I needed to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because all in all, if I went back after January to in person, it would have been like, halfway through and then like whatever like the next day.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, if I go a day over halfway through like college, like there's no way I'm like leaving. Like
yeah.
I feel like that was the cutoff for me.
Right.
So I was like waiting for that thing to like pop up and it was just something spontaneous day of that 14-year-old helped me decide that I could quit school, you know? Like
yeah, it's insane.
So it's pretty wild.
It's wild. So you're not afraid, like, if you know someone who knows someone else, you're not afraid to send that text and be like, hey, can you, like, connect
Absolutely.
Me? Like, how do you like, phrase that? You just be like...
Sometimes it's just straight up asking. Other times it's bringing value to them.
Right.
At the time, I just straight up asked because I didn't...
I had
nothing all over that kid. I was like, hey, we can get a win in Warzone, you know? That was literally about it. So I think for me, it was knowing that I trust myself to get to a certain point to be able to give it back. And that's the important part because I feel like now I have a value that I'm bringing to people who come to work for me who don't have a value necessarily. And they're just trying to get into it and learn about what we do and how to network and how to do that.
Yeah.
That when they go off somewhere else and they start working with an artist, they can say, wow, the people that put me on who are still going strong, like you guys should like seriously reach out to them. I think they can help you.
Yeah.
So it's just that aspect of down the line, like just remember us and like I'll remember you. Like I won't forget what he did for me. And like I continue to help him, like give him shows to go to, whether it be sneaking in and different ways of how to sneak in or actually giving him a pass and stuff.
Totally.
So.
Yeah, no, I've been talking to a few people who are a little more like up in the music industry, like engineers, producers and stuff. And it seems like there's this kind of consistent thing of like in some form like giving away your talent like at no charge up front and then just kind of like trusting that eventually you'll be able to like capitalize on that somehow or like you know show your worth to the world in some way that like you know if you do that enough and you make enough like good impressions and connections like that eventually it like comes back and helps you to grow like financially and you know get your own you know material goals met.
Yeah, because I think like the free was important, like what you just mentioned, because obviously like I know Sean, like you've had to have done work for free.
Yeah, a little.
And
yeah.
producer.
Yeah.
And Pete, like the creative space gets done so dirty that like you know damn well like we're losing so much time doing stuff for free just to be able to like learn how to do something for ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So I went through long time doing that before I even like got a paid gig.
Right.
Like I was already doing, I probably had like 15 shows under my belt before I did Lil TJ and like had a bunch of I went to clubs and like people asked me to go and film birthday parties and stuff. And it's like how the fuck did I not make money off of that, you know?
Yeah, in retrospect, it's like...
And sometimes it takes that slap in the face saying, holy shit, like, I was just on stage with 5,000 people and there was 5,000, like, flashlights, like, staring at my fucking face. Mm-hmm. Like, now, like, I'm at a point where I can't take any free work anymore. Yeah. Like, this is what I've done and this is what I'm capable of doing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of meet me halfway somewhere. I'm cool to work with the budget because I'm still learning.
Yeah.
But I've already done this and this was my cosign, you know?
Yeah. There's like this really important like line to draw. And I guess it's probably pretty tricky to know where to draw that line between like, I'm doing this for free because I need to, because it's super important and like this will benefit me. But at some point I need to start handing out like, you know, eventually I got to hand you an invoice for like, you know, if it's the fifth time we've worked together and you're like extremely benefiting off of what I'm doing, like, you know, I have to like, you know, I got to eat.
Put your foot down and everything. Yeah, exactly.
Make rent and stuff.
It's cool to make friends, but it's cooler to make money and friends, you know?
Yeah, both. Yeah. Why not both?
Like my mom is always like, whenever I leave the house and she goes like, you're going to a show, I'm like, yeah, I'm working with a guy with face tats, he's from Compton and like we're gonna have a great time. I don't know what he's gonna be doing after the show, but I'm probably gonna go with them. And she's like, that is scary as hell, how much money are you making? And it's like, mom, like sometimes I'm not making a thing and like I'm trying to make a connection. Other times it's like, hey, I'm making $500. Other times it's, hey, I'm making $1,000, you know? Yeah. But all in all, it's like you have to put in the work. And I think the important thing is like that whole line of where to draw it at and like say, damn, now I gotta like stop doing stuff for free. Right. It's that you'll know. Like people watching this, like they'll be sitting back being like, damn, like how the hell have I not hit that moment? Like it's been 6 months for me. And it's like you will get an opportunity and you're gonna be like, holy shit, this is the craziest thing I've ever done in my life.
Right.
And it's the last paid thing you do. It might be the first paid thing you do.
Mm.
But there's one crazy experience, and whether an artist reposts your work or like says, hey, like come do this show with me, whether it's for free or not, that's where you draw the line. And it's like, I am doing this stuff and this is, people are valuing me and like know what I can do at that level. So all these people at this level need to start looking at me as a director, as a producer, as whatever I am. And that's the important part, that whoever you meet in life, don't say, I want to be a producer. I want to be a director. I want to, I want to mix. Like I am a mix engineer. I'm a sound engineer. I'm a producer. I'm a director. I'm a videographer.
Yeah.
And that's how it is, because you don't know if you're working as a waitress somewhere, someone might walk in and say, hey, like, what do you do? Like you probably just aren't a waitress. Like I know you're a college kid. Like, what are you studying?
Right.
Oh, well, I'm a director. I'm a producer. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. I know someone over here that like, I would love to get you in touch with. You seem very you seem like a great person. And you helped us out a lot. You got us our food quick. Yeah. Here you go. Like help us out. I worked on a boat narrating for, like sightseers in like Boston Harbor.
Okay.
And it was a Salem ferry. So we go back and forth from Salem. So it'd be people dressed up in like the craziest shit, like going to see Salem witches and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was also a commuter ferry. So people go to work in the morning and then come back on like the late trip during the week. And it's like, fuck, why should I narrate and like tell people what the fuck they're looking at if they live here and have been here for 50 years, you know?
Yeah.
So this lady said, she saw I was like super pissed off one day because it was like all commuters and like they made me do it. And those people like just didn't give a flying fuck. They had their AirPods in or they were like, just shut up and like, let us enjoy our ride.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you don't know who's going to come on that boat next.
True.
And, the next day I went in and, the last trip I had with all the commuters on it, there was one family who was tourists that were going in to stay in Boston for the night. And, it was Post Malone's former media and social media marketing management.
Shit.
And she was like, that is incredible. Like that you're a director and you had the balls to like say you're a director to my face, you know? So that was a cool thing that I learned too.
Yeah. And if you had just said like, I want to be a director or I want to be, you know, whatever it is, it's like, now that person is like, oh, like I need this thing. It would have been nice if like I had met that person today, but like he wants to be this. He's not doing it. It's like, so I'll just keep looking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're not sure, then like, why should I talk to you? You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I think you got to have a confidence in yourself, and also you got to be like a little cocky, but not like in a way where it's like, I've been in rooms with Drake and like we've had a shot, and I've been in rooms with Travis and we had a shot, and like I've done this and I've done that. It's like we work with Drake, we work with Travis, we work with these artists, and we do this content for them. And it's how you bring yourself in a professional way rather than saying, because that just looks like it's malpractice straight up. It looks like it looks like you're doing something weird with them to be able to tell a good story rather than saying, hey, these are guys that like we were able to co-sign with and work with, you know?
Yeah.
Like we have good stories with them and all that, but like at the end of the day, like they're our clients. Totally. And we work with them. Yeah. So that's the cockiness in a way, and like the confidence, just like we work with the biggest artists in the world, you know?
And you have to,
But that's like, just like a resume thing. Totally. You know? It depends how you say it. And that's also an important thing, because when you're sitting in rooms and you have someone who's just trying to get into the industry and they're saying like, can't believe I went to this show and like worked with this artist and like and did this and did that, and it's like, who have you done stuff with? Oh, well, like we produce for Travis Scott, and they're like, really? Like that's the craziest thing. Like tell me a cool story, like whatever. Totally, and it's they're just like friends of ours, you know? Like I don't need to tell you a story about Travis. It's like just put in the work and get out, and when they call you again, you fucking show up. Show up and keep showing up.
I'm curious, like, you've worked with like some of the biggest artists on the planet, and like, do you have any like dream artists that you like really want to work with, or like what's the next? I'm curious about like growth for you and like what your long-term kind of goals and like dreams are and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, like it's kind of crazy because I've only been doing this like 2 years. So stuff that seems long-term isn't necessarily long-term, because it's like I started off in a club with like 18-year-olds in school and now it's like I'm doing what I'm doing 2 years later. So I'm grateful for everything, but personally I really want to be able to do the Travis Scott show, like basically get a ton of people in through my company and just do that, because that'd be like crazy, because I've only seen like one or two photographers throughout his tour. So I'm trying to set that up. And then Cardi, which I can't say anything about or anything, but Cardi, if he doesn't cancel his tour for like the fifth time already, we're looking all right.
Wow, that's sick. Yeah.
So Cardi would be the craziest thing I could ever do. I've never seen him live. I want to see him live, but that's the one I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
But long-term, company-wise, we're trying to be like Live Nation without ticket sales, because we want to be able to handle production. We want to be able to do that stuff and basically give them an ROI, like return on investment of like, here's how much money we have saved for doing every single thing you can possibly imagine for a tour rather than like for a show.
Yeah.
And just say like, this is what your normal cost would be for a tour, and be like, yeah, we just saved you like $10 million. Like that's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ticket sales part I don't really care about, because it's like, why would I want someone bitching at me over a $50 ticket if like a show gets canceled? Like I have other shit to worry about than give you a $50 refund and like have to hear from you and whatever. So that's the stuff that I definitely don't want to do. So more like just like a touring agency, I guess.
Yeah.
We've been looking at kind of, I'll say it. We were looking at doing a record label. So that's a cool thing that we're looking at right now. The names I can't say for who we're with on the music side, but percentage wise, like this is the whole business side. If they want to work with us and we want to work with them, it needs to be beneficial to both of us or split even. Even when you're making a song, you need 50% of the rights, and he needs 50%. So that's kind of what we're struggling on right now, trying to agree on that. Because the marketing side and everything is huge, and the music side is also huge. So that's where we're kind of like, how come 30% is for us and 70% is for your side of music to deal with? And it's like, I get it. Like, record label, music side gets more.
Yeah.
But marketing, to be able to let other people come into our label and hear the music, that's also a big deal. So it's a lot of stuff that happens. And it would be a record company like in our name some way. We don't have a name yet or anything, but we're looking at doing that. I think it could be a cool idea though.
No, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, you have so many connections. There's like probably a few different things you could do with all that. And like,
yeah, I wouldn't be like a CEO of the label or anything. Mm-hmm. I just say like, here's the label that I helped work on, like with my company, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I'm cool with managing the marketing side, but like, I need somebody else like dealing with that.
Totally.
I think that's a lot for me on top of like dealing with my 200 guys. Like, hey, let's figure out like how we're going to run like a label that I want to go multi-platinum with artists with, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
So, I think that's cool. I don't know when that will happen,
right,
but it will happen.
So is that like definitely in the works or just kind of
an
idea?
It's definitely in the works. I don't know. It won't be for 5-6 years.
Okay.
Cause I want to be able, while we're like really starting to get strict with it and like really set it up, I want to be able to like have A&Rs and those guys be like, this is talent we can use. And like basically have that reputation for like when we get bigger as a company.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're big around like New England and like Montreal and Canada for sure. So I want to, once more of the rest of the world starts to be like, oh, Massful Media.
Yeah.
I think that's when I want to get the label going as like being able to co-sign artists. So it's so they don't see a new label and it's like, why should I sign with you guys?
Right,
you know,
it's just like this little.
Yeah. So
little
now
thing.
It's like, we're fucking Massful Media. Like, you have to sign with us, right. You know? So that's kind of like what I'm waiting for that.
Yeah,
also.
That makes sense. So you want to have like artists like definitely like it's like releasing a console where it's like, here's our 10 games that we're releasing like on launch.
Yeah,
like you
we want to sign the contracts and be like, hey, you owe us an album every year. You owe us 2 singles every year. Yeah. And we're going to do this for 3 years and then we can negotiate another contract.
Yeah.
And see if you like it. If you don't, you can go. If not, if you like it, then stay with us and we'll figure out another contract.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're looking at doing.
Yeah. You said like 5-ish years is kind of the estimate on
that.
Like,
yeah, definitely an opening one, 5-ish years. Yeah, I don't know necessarily how the artist will feel about putting out that much music or whatever throughout all 5 years. So maybe the first 2 years we'll do this. The last 3 years we'll do something else. I have no idea yet.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, ultimately that's like the broad idea of what we're looking at right now.
Do you have like a general kind of plan on how you want to like get that recognition that you're talking about over the next 5 years? Like how do you, like what's the kind of like nuts and bolts of like growing over that next period?
I think it's doing like the whole Live Nation without ticket sales and the touring agency first and just kind of working with our clients that we've been working with and saying, let's actually like go to Europe and do a tour. Let's go to places that we haven't necessarily been to except for festivals and like a single show out here, a single show out there, and like do a whole tour in that whole area and like let people know like who we are, like apart from the artist. Throwing shows in Boston, Montreal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first thing. I think the label and stuff will come after that though, for sure.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's like you're touring like as an artist or something.
And for the label, the whole music side, it's hosted by a big name. It's kind of like what Sycamore's doing, bringing people in and like with SoundCloud and saying, let's make a mixtape and like put on everyone. So we're a creative collective. They're a producer collective.
Mm.
So they take in guys who have done some placements and done whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an idea right now. And like, we have no talks about money. We have nothing. Right. It's just like, this would be cool if we did this 5 years down the line and see if it works.
Totally.
But yeah, I think it could be a good idea.
Interesting. No, that's super cool. I definitely think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think you should pursue that for sure.
It would be cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious, like, now you probably have all this momentum and like connections and stuff already, but like if you want to get the attention of someone who you don't necessarily know, like, oh, I know this person who knows this person, like how do you get the attention if you do this? Or I'm not sure if you're just kind of riding the waves right now, but if you're trying to get the attention of someone like who's kind of high profile, like how do you go about doing that?
Is that with the connections that somebody has?
Like, let's say
scratch?
You don't really know a connection for this person, but you really want to work with them or like get their contact info or something.
There's really like no one way of going about it because like, again, objectively in that whole creative space and like trying to network, there's no way you can go wrong unless like you kill someone, like straight up. I think that the best way of doing it is, like, I've seen guys with, like, artists with speakers outside of shows, like, back entrances to shows. When the artist comes out, he's singing already, and that's how he gets their attention. It's like a cosign. But I think that emails are better than Instagram DMs.
Okay.
If you're trying to, like, professionally do it, they have assistance, and all that information is public, by the way. I didn't say that. So whenever you're looking at how to get in touch with an artist, their managers, their assistant, their producer, everything is public. Mm. Like, every little bit of information is public. Yeah. Names, emails, whatever. Mm. You can pay $5 to get a phone number, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
There's like a website for that, like, or something?
There's a couple. Rocky Reach, yeah. You have a bunch. LinkedIn, you can just connect with them. And it's pretty easy on LinkedIn with the music industry, because it's kind of like, we all have LinkedIn, but in music, it's like we meet people in person. We don't really care about LinkedIn that much.
Not really a thing so much.
Yeah, so it's like, what the fuck? Someone connected me with me on LinkedIn. Like, what could he possibly want? And they'll actually, like, probably look at it, because
they just
don't have connections on LinkedIn. Yeah. Because it's like, why the fuck do they need that if they're working with this person, you know?
Yeah.
I think professionally, staying professional about it. Like, don't just be like, I need to work with this person. I just need like 10 seconds of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll get your time with them, you know, but just like do it the right way. Don't go and be like, I know you have this phone number. Like, I need to text this person. I'll say that I met him 5 years ago, six years ago, whatever. And that's how I'm going to get to him. And when you meet in person, how to really establish a connection. Our attention span is like absolutely fucking terrible. Like, for this generation, it's like brutal.
Yeah.
So the first 10 seconds, you got to like hit them with like a pitch, like the greatest part of your pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, it's like, we are the Uber for creatives. And they're like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah,
like, that's interesting, because we've never heard of that. So you get 30 more seconds out of that.
Mm.
You tell them what that is. If they like the idea, you get another 40 seconds. So between that minute 30, minute 40, you're supposed to swap numbers, swap Instagrams, whatever you can do.
2 minute window.
On the person, the Instagram sometimes is better than a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think that they're sincere and like they want to connect with you, you go with a phone number. If you just think they like the idea, but you don't think there's any work to be made between them, and he's a big person and a high profile guy, to have a follow on him through Instagram is like a pretty good fucking look.
Yeah.
So it's knowing 10 steps ahead a little bit, but not that many steps, I guess. Just kind of like what you want from them, because they're thinking the same exact thing. What can I want from you?
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And because you're going to them, they already know that they provide you value.
Right.
So what the hell are you providing to them? Because they're just going to say that's a waste of fucking time for you to come up and say, hey, I like what you do. They hear that all the fucking time.
Totally.
So there's a lot of thought that won't get said. It's like when you want to say something to someone so bad, but like you're like, shit, that would fucking kill them. That's like a lot of what the music industry is. It's like, it's like all those thoughts are balled up in your head and you know you can't say them, but you're like, damn, I am like so fucking smart and I can manipulate this kid like a book. And that's sometimes what it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad, but that's how a lot of people think in the music industry.
Totally. And very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you ever get caught up in like, because I like when I see someone in public that I want to talk to, I want to like give them that pitch and stuff and be like, here's what I do. Like, but I don't want to sound like I'm just trying to like get something from them, or like, I don't want to seem like I'm like just interacting on that level.
Yeah.
Do you like, is there like nuance to it, or do you just go in and say like, hey, I do this, like I'm Tyler?
Always, if you really want to talk to them and you respect them, always give them their flowers, because show that you have appreciation for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would even ask them a question and be like, hey, I'm actually a producer. I'm doing this. Like, I'm just wondering how you got this, or what you recommend to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that automatically just starts a conversation. Like, and might not just be like asking a question back. You can know how a guy thinks from how he answers that question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're more adapt to your surroundings rather than just that person, just like really dive into like what he's saying, and like don't hear it and like walk away and then be like, wow, that's kind of cool, like now I'm wondering something else.
Right.
Like, try and like delay your thought process. Like, it's cool to like wait a little bit before you actually respond.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd ask them a question, as stupid as that sounds, because they'll answer and it leads to another question.
Totally. So, yeah. I mean, that's like a classic way
and it's
to
like
open
also up. Like a regular conversation, you know?
Yeah, just talking to a human being.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah, like, what do you do? It's like, yeah, it's basically like a more professional way of saying, what do you do? Like, hey, I'm a producer, but like, I'm looking at getting into this. I'm wondering how you got involved in that.
Right.
Because obviously we have more like more tools now, but back when you were doing it, I had no idea that you did that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And they love talking about themselves. So
that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, everyone does.
Yeah, it helps. Right. Yeah. We're all proud and we're all passionate. And we want everything that we can get, because a lot of us, except for ours, don't get the proper credit. And like, we don't, it's like honestly therapy. It's low key therapy.
Yeah.
Like being able to talk to people in the creative space, like even podcasts, like some people come on podcasts because it's like, holy shit, I can like unleash all the stuff that I've learned in like 10 years that I haven't had the balls to say to an artist. And like, this is my therapy. So it's cool to be like, to give people their flowers, because it goes a long way. It goes a really long way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have people doing that to you nowadays, or has that flipped at all?
It's kind of cool. Like, some people reach out and they're like, wow, like, you're the reason like I'm doing this. And like, I just got a camera and like really inspiring stuff. And like, I'd love to be able to like work with you or do something to you one day. And it's like cool to hear, because it's like, fuck, I still think I see people better than me, you know?
Right,
it's like, it's cool I'm putting on other people and everything, but it's like, why do you want to work with me? Because I associate myself with like my company and my 200 guys. So if you're saying that to me, you should be saying it to all the other people that work with me, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it's like, I'm a personality in a way, but like, I feel like everyone has their own credit into who I am and like what I've been able to do.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people might not realize that there's this huge team involved, but yeah, as far as like, getting that recognition and those flowers and stuff, like, what nowadays, like, what makes you feel accomplished, like, as a creative person, like, as a human being, like, what makes you feel like this is like what I was like meant to do or whatever?
I believe everything happens for a reason. I think that's like a big part of my life that I learned. And I think that I ended up here because of COVID, as like crazy as that was, like, I really came to terms like during COVID with like my thought process and like who I was as a person becoming an adult, and like how to really like think about not just like who and when, but like more like why. Like, I love learning the why and I love learning about people.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really important part of my life, because it's like, I went to one concert before COVID. I went to see Roy Woods, Drake, and Migos in 2018, and that was the only concert I've ever been to in my life. I've never been around music, I've never done anything with music. That was it.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing on Snapchat stories after playing video games like 20 hours a day, I was like,
right,
maybe like they were all like, oh, I missed this concert, like, fuck COVID, like, this was supposed to be a day. And it's like, you all had your phones out at that concert, like, there. And then, and like, now it's crazy to me, because I still like see like 5,000 lights like flashing in my face like at my first arena show, and it's like, that's crazy how that didn't change. And like, I took the opportunity just from like seeing how many people had their phones to like be able to be that person who works with the artist with my phone and my camera, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's when I really realized, like, holy shit, like, I think I've figured out like a thought process that like how I think and like just generating ideas from like nothing to something.
Yeah. Like, once you have like this plan that like feels right, that's like such a good feeling.
And not even just plan. Like, I had no idea I was going to do my company until I came home, and I started off doing it greedy. I didn't even think it was going to turn into this, but part of it is like, even when clients come up to you and they say, I need this done, I need that done, and it's like, we just say yes. We don't know if we can do it, but we just say yes, and we bullshit the fuck out of it. You know, it's like, sometimes when I was first hiring people like that, I had to say no and yes to, like, when we started getting enough people, I would say, if I gave you like $10,000 for a music video, how would you do it? And I want them to bullshit me and like say, like, I would do this, because if they are that passionate about it, they'll be able to do whatever they want, you know?
Yeah.
I know for myself, I would have been able to do it if I was that passionate. And some people were just like, well, I probably wouldn't even use it, or like, and I just do like a public shoot, and I'm like, but that's just like what you're doing now. Like, right. How are you going to improve?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then, Stein would say, let me change the question on you. What if I were to give you $1 million? And I was like, he was like, but that's so much more money. I'm like, it's the same fucking question. I'm looking for the same fucking thing, you know?
Yeah. What's your imagination?
Yeah, exactly. You know? What's your imagination? What's your thought process? Like, mm-hmm. How would you break it down? And he said, I'd probably donate it and do it something like a God's Plan video. And I was like, that might be one of the most creative things I've ever heard, because if I heard $1 million, I'd be like, private jet, everything materialistic that you associate to rap. And mm-hmm. It's like a video of like people doing donations and stuff. And I rewatched that video for God's Plan, and I was like, that is cool that like that was the first thing that came to his mind rather than spending all the money and like saying the stuff that I was expecting him to say. Like he made an idea that like I was absolutely not expecting.
Totally.
So I thought that was kind of like where I was like, that's a really good idea.
Totally. Yeah, that flash of like ingenuity and like,
yeah, I was like, holy shit. I thought I was like the smartest person in the room. Like, you really shut me up, you know? But yeah, that's when I knew. I was like, yeah, I need you. So
yeah. That's like an actual interaction you had with someone.
Yeah, that was an actual interaction.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was honestly amazed by it. That was at like 2 a.m. too, because they're in a completely, it was like, I forget, they switch around a little bit. They're in like Asia and Australia and stuff. So
yeah, I was like curious about that. Morning. Like 200 people, like where are they? Are there like hotspots? Are they mostly around, are they in the US? Are they traveling? Or do they live in these different places?
I have like one in every 50 states at least.
Okay.
So except like Alaska and Montana, sure. Like places where like it's like, hey, we maybe have something happening like once every 10 years, you know. Yeah. Boston I have a ton, because mm-hmm. that's like
makes
home
sense
to me, you know. Yeah. Canada I probably have like 50 total.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good number for like, a country. Yeah
and like rappers we work with can't even cross the border because felonies for the most part.
Yeah.
So having 50 might even be too much sometimes. Even Boston, we have so many people. It's like, shit, I need people to like sit this one out. And like, even like I call Dre, like Boston Flicks, every day. And I'm like, dude, we have like 40 people on a list for this show. I don't know how I'm getting 40 people like take photos of the same thing. So I'm like, some people got to sit this out, and like they just got to trust that like we can get them in other way.
Right.
So that's like that. Me and Jerry just kind of like, holy shit, like we like have an empire, you know?
Yeah, that's sick.
Europe, we have like one in every country.
Nice.
Australia and New Zealand, we have one in like kind of different areas, like Melbourne, Perth, Sydney. Like we have creatives there. In Asia, we have one in Shanghai, one in Hong Kong.
Wow.
But like Hong Kong and Shanghai, like it's really hard to like figure shit out there, because I have no idea anything about what's going on there. That's the whole thing. It's like I'm very cultured and like in the know of everything, but like I need other people like be like, hey, this is like what's going on here. Like,
right.
You think you can set something up, or like, cool, I'll give it to my guy that like knows how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of nuance.
Yeah, and we have Japan and a couple in the Middle East too.
That's so sick, man. Yeah. And this is all just like through Instagram and online and stuff.
Yeah. 90% of the people I've never even met.
Wow. That's wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like trusting them like with my instinct and stuff, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. You do like an interview, or like how do you like?
Yeah, we do like an interview, and sometimes it's like, it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's FaceTime. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. It's just me trying to gauge how passionate they are. Just like them being curious. And I love curiosity. Uh-huh. It's like literally like, it's like swiping on Tinder and being like, you seem all right, like we'll figure this out, you know,
for sure.
And it's like that first date where it's like, you're hired, we're married for life, you know. And it's like, that's like the whole trusting the instinct thing. It's like, are you gonna fuck me over, or like, is this gonna be the best first date I've ever had in my life?
Sure
That's how I relate it to that a little bit, which is super funny.
Have you ever had to like, I didn't even think about this, but have you ever had to like cut someone?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
More than once, many times.
Yeah, there's been people. The one thing with me is that if you use my name or like anyone in my company's name trying to get passes when you're not affiliated with us directly, that's the type of stuff that makes me kind of like, why are you doing that, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Because it's like just people looking for handouts. And it's not even me being like, you're taking away from like one of my guys' stuff. I don't care. Like I'll get my guys in through other ways. Like I'm naturally like winded to do that anyways, in the easiest way. But it's like, why would you use my name like as an easy handout mm-hmm. when you don't want to work for it? Like that just shows you want to do this as a hobby, even right. though you say you want to do it as a job. You're not getting anywhere if you're not hustling.
And these are people that you've never spoken to before, or
no? It's people like I see them at shows all the time and stuff too.
But like yeah. you haven't like done that vetting process. They're not. You haven't like signed.
Correct.
Them
I haven't
on.
Interviewed okay. them or anything. Yeah, they go and apply through through companies like using our company name.
Hmm.
I fucked up really bad. I did that once and I learned the hard way.
Did what?
I used a major company's name okay. to try and get into a festival when I just started, and I was like lazy.
Yeah.
So I learned that way really quickly of what can happen, and I like never ever came close to touching that side of the yeah. fence again. So I want people to know like what can happen. And it's not just me being that guy like cutting people off and stuff. But it's me being like, that shit can get you into some serious trouble. And like, it's happened to me. And like, I want you to learn from it. Like, we're still cool and like, we're friends, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like, on a professional level, just like, you need to know better.
It's a no-no for yeah. sure. Yeah, I mean, that definitely seems like a good way to make a bad impression. Like, I don't see how that could... yeah. I don't see how that could really end in
yeah,
a good
that's,
way.
Yeah, that's the one bad thing. I mean, there's people that like... had a guy. so, little TJ was in Halifax. Actually, wait. We're going to cut that part out. so whatever I say now will be good. There was a show in Halifax, and a guy called me like a day after the show. Mm-hmm. And he said, yo, I saw like one of your guys. I was letting him into the venue, and he didn't want to walk in with me. I was going to get him situated with like the artist and his team. And he just stayed outside. And I was like, what are you doing? And I explicitly saw him sell the pass I gave him, or the ticket I gave him, but he kept the pass and was able to come in. So he was like, I don't know if this is your guy or whatever, but like
yeah.
that can't be happening. You can't be profiting off of trying to work, you know?
For sure.
So I said like, A, you're never working with me again, mm-hmm. and B, now I got to go and make contracts for the rest of this guy's like anything. Whatever he does, and put in being like, I will not sell my media pass, which like shouldn't even be a thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you should be appreciative to take the job and like have it be. That was his first show too, so
yeah.
why would you do that your first show?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
one thing if you're tapped out and it's like a last hurrah or whatever, but
right,
like even
yeah,
then
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like it's still mad unprofessional.
Still not good, yeah.
But
just wicked focused on like the short term.
Exactly. Like, yeah. That's where it's like, cool, this is a nice hobby. Like, thanks for the plug and I'll see you later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was another one.
Interesting.
That was not fun.
Yeah. I bet that's not fun. Yeah. I mean, you don't realize that people will kind of like take advantage until it happens. And then it's like, you wish you could go back in time and like, you know, put that little stipulation in the contract before.
And not even that. It's like, all these guys are under me, so mm-hmm. anything that they do, it's not just my company name, it's my name.
Yeah.
And it's important to know that anything that happens will fall on me.
Mm.
Even though they think it's just their wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Because they have to go through me for clients. They have to talk to Dre for clients. They have to do everything between me and Dre.
Yeah.
So it gets pretty hard.
Totally.
To yeah. deal with, and it's like it's just knowing where your kind of like priorities lie in
for
a way.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so I'm curious, like probably getting on the wrapping up side of things, but I'm curious, like, have you had any favorite like shows or experiences from like this year? Like, what are some recent like favorite things that have happened?
Definitely the show with Billie Eilish.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah.
I got a text from Armani Blanco's manager. Or Armani White, sorry. I call him Blanco. So Armani White's manager texted me. He's like, hey, Tyler, like, do you have someone in Montreal to cover it? And I was like, yes. Like, I have my guy at the show, and I am sitting at home kind of as, like, his place to stay. And, like, I'm not doing anything the weekend, just managing it.
Uh-huh.
He was like, would you want to come and do it? Like, I can just get like an extra pass and like you can come in and do it. So I was like, yeah, no problem. Like, he's like, okay, so it would be today and tomorrow. Just like come down as quick as you can. Like, we're going to be there in 30 minutes. And I was like an hour out, and I got there in like
shit,
30 minutes. And he was like, I was like, so when are you performing? And he goes, well, it's getting kind of late. I'm like, not really the biggest artist, but like, I'm performing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why the fuck are we here tonight? And he was like, I can't really tell you, like, just kind of enjoy the time and whatever. So then I started thinking, and I'm talking to my guy Dawson. I'm like, his biggest song is called Billie Eilish. Like, and Billie Eilish is headlining. Like, I think there might be something up. I don't know if he just came to watch the set, man. If they need like a camera guy, I don't know if they just came to watch the set. So we're sitting backstage. We see Billie like warming up and jumping around and everything before she goes on. And we're like, and this girl, Nicole, comes out, and Billie's mom, Maggie, with a set list and says, like, this is when Armani White goes on. And I was like, no fucking way. This is like the coolest thing that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Because Billie was like one of those artists that I said, like, it's super hard to photograph her. Yeah, so I was like, this is like a holy grail. Like, this is like the coolest thing. I was sitting with Billie Eilish's mom in a family section. I wasn't even in the pit, like by the barricade or anything yet. And, right behind me was 070 Shake and her girlfriend. And I didn't know who she was dating at the time. And if I did, I would have like taken as many photos as I could. But it was 070 Shake cuddling up with Lily Rose Depp, like right behind me. So I was like, that is the craziest thing. I only figured out like when I got home, and I was like, that's super unfortunate. the security guard's looking at me, like Billy's had his personal security, his name's Sully, and he's looking at me and he's like, how come you're like in the family section? Just like, come over here. So I got escorted and I'm like sitting directly by the stage. Armani White comes out, does a performance to Billie Eilish. That was the first time they ever met and everything too, which is like super cool to get video of that.
Yeah.
After the show, Billie Eilish came out and we had like 5 minutes with her before she was like flying over to, I think it was Hungary.
Okay.
And she was like, do you mind if like we can take a quick photo?
Nice.
And I was like, Billie's asking me to like take a photo. Like, it was like, I don't get starstruck or anything, but it was like, it was pretty cool to get asked to take a photo of like Armani White and Billie Eilish, like the first time they met. I was like, there's no way they're really pointing at me, you know?
Yeah.
And it was cool to meet Matty Vogel, who's Billie Eilish's photographer. He is like one of the most incredible dudes in the creative space.
Nice.
So that was probably one of the coolest stories I had recently.
Yeah, that sounds sick, man.
And artist wise, yeah.
Like a great time, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. Well, I mean, I think I think this has been really cool, man.
It was awesome. Yeah, no, this was fun.
Yeah. I really appreciate you coming on.
Dude, and, of course.
Yeah.
And this is the first episode, right?
Well, it's the first episode we're shooting. I don't know what exactly the plan is for rolling these out, but it's the first one we're shooting, and we're probably going to get rolling with the more episodes very shortly.
Sweet.
So might be a little delay before this comes out, but no, I'm super excited for this project and people to see all the amazing insights that you're bringing and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It'll be cool for the people you meet. It's like a great way to just tap in with everyone and get to learn more about just people rather than what they do.
Totally,
you know?
Totally.
And in the most non-clickbait way possible, like and subscribe.
Yeah, do you have any projects that you want to like name drop or anything? Like,
projects I have coming up. Next week I'm doing Black. And maybe you'll see us at Travis and Cardi. And if
Sick.
You see us and you see my face, just come up and say hello.
Sweet.
That's all I can say.
All right, nice. Cool. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for coming on.
Of course.
And yeah, I guess that's it.
All right, sweet.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Tyler at tyler.seller and Masshole Media on Instagram. You can find us at firekeeper.studios on Instagram or at our website, firekeeperstudios.com. Check out Pete's website, peterdebarrosfilms.com, or his Instagram at killpetefilms. Peace.